Thank you for tuning in. I entitled my message this week, Eyes Like an Eagle, or Eagle Eyes, or How Does God Let Us Use Our Eyes to Focus on Something? Or even like a hawk. You have an eagle and you have a hawk, and they focus. Their eyes are focused. But what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, is this. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. In Mark chapter 8, verse 25, once more Jesus puts his hands on the man's eyes, and then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Matthew 6:22 says, the eye is the lamp of your body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? And it's so true. Your eyes are your soul's window. But I think the eyes, or the idea of eyes, betraying our innermost thoughts and emotions and characters goes all the way back to biblical times. And later, in the similar phrases that are attributed to Shakespeare and others, Da Vinci and all that, but it was really the Jewish thought that pays close attention to our eyes and how our eyes can deceive us and they can lure us away from God or even cause our hearts to lust after unhealthy inclinations. Well, I think the opposite can be true. Our hearts, if inclined towards criticism, judgmentalism, or mean-spirited emotions, can direct our eyes to pay attention to the most minute details about other people rather than focusing on God and our own self-improvement. Well, even more, I think we can judge other people's actions as controversial when our hearts decide that their actions align with our bias. Now, I think in this ways our eyes can become like laser, or worse, razor, splicing and dicing apart people's behaviors and actions and imposing judgment upon them. Well, this behavior distracts us from having to deal with our own emotion at times and failings. It's also put wedges between us and those we hope to love. A healthy, critical eye can be helpful at times, but a sharp, critical eye, when engaged for the purpose of competition or one-upmanship or self-righteousness or premeditation or whatever, can inflict deep wounds upon the heart and the soul of those that we claim to care about. Well, I think your eyes will reveal the way you see the world more accurately, or the way that you see yourself in respect to others. Now, we humans, we're complicated and we're also very competitive creatures. You know, creating disciples to pay attention to the feelings of others, who cultivate sensitivity and empathy while elevating others higher than themselves, is not an easy task. If it was, we wouldn't need Jesus. Now, Jesus spent a lot of time, if you would, particularly through his parables. You know, earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, teaching others how to put themselves last and take on a mentality of service and develop an empathetic awareness to those around us and even in the cultural context which we live, using a technique that I'd like to call the art of the teachable moment. Jesus typically responds to real-life situations with stories, parables, if you would, that help people see the problems with their behavior, the glitches in their theology, or the harm in their approach towards others. The scripture that I shared this week, we see Jesus gathering his fellow colleagues at a Sabbath dinner. The location was a house of a prominent leader of the Pharisees. To alert to Jesus the habits for the unexpected behavior, we learn from Luke that they were all watching him closely to see what he would say or do. Now, Jesus, too, was watching them, no doubt. Just as the Romans had custom to do, the Jewish leaders were all seeking the best seats in the house. You know, like being front row Methodist, that's what I like to be, but more people, they like to sit on the back row, but I like to see what's going on. So one closest to the host, which they deem as the highest position of honor, he noted that everyone gathered for the Sabbath meal was of a certain rank or position or education or even status. Now, status for the Pharisees had become a very, very big deal. Their eyes were not only peeled on Jesus, ready to criticize and defend, but they were also peeled on the seats of honor, on each other, and on the preferences of their host. A competitive spirit abounded. You could feel it in the room. But quietly, Jesus spoke to them, explaining that true honor did not come from sitting at the right place or by one-upping a colleague, but by offering your place to another person. A true leader does not invite only those in his or her rank or position or situation or even a tit-for-tat method of who will host and then pay for the meal on the schedule, but invites to the table those who could never afford to be there, let alone host the group around them. Now, in one little short parable, Jesus challenged their closed system, selective vision, and advocate for an open door invitation, or a viewpoint, if you would, that went well against every cultural expectation that informed both their view of themselves and of others. You know, like giving without expectation or invitation without reciprocation. You know, you invite me to the dinner and I'll invite you to my dinner, and you know how that goes. Exceeding instead of confronting. Humility rather than the hawkish competitive spirit that had dominated the Sabbath meal. But in a sense, I think Jesus was simply reminding them of the meaning of the Sabbath. Sabbath was created to challenge a world led by consumer society, worldly attentions, and Sabbath was a way of making time for God. It says in the Psalm, "Be still and know that I'm God." Celebrating family and community, paying attention to faith, and honoring God's blessings and commands upon all. You know what all is? Yeah, all of God's people. It was a time in which you were called to focus your eyes upon God and God's abundant table of grace and plenty. It was a time in which you were to honor God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. It was a time for striving, for personal gain. It was to be put aside, and God's favor was to be enjoyed in a table large enough for every one of God's children. You know, we came up with an advertising theme some time ago, and I was honored and blessed to be the coordinator for the district for the Open Hearts, Open Minds, Open Doors program. That's what we were trying to do, but we failed miserably at that too. But it was a time when humility needed to take place in one's life, and God was the only host. It was time when gentleness of the dove, not the predatory motives of the hawk, became the eye's entire focus. Now, I think it is hard to argue with Jesus when he tells these kind of parables, because it's hard to dispute God when you're receiving God's blessings. Perhaps the greatest gift of the Sabbath itself is the command to keep your eyes on God. You know, as we said in Scriptures, keep your eyes on the mark of the high calling, which is Jesus, and train your heart and brain to guide your eyes towards a loving embrace rather than a hawkish critique. It's easy to fall into a place of bias. I realize that. But most of the time, we don't even realize that we're doing it until Jesus points it out and we take a closer look at what and where our focus and our heartstrings lie. So today, I want to challenge us and call all of us into this Sabbath time to look to the Holy Spirit of Christ to guide your heart into a place of extreme empathy. for the lives and the condition of others. Invite them to your table. Invite them to your church, to your gatherings, and you will feel the eyes of God smiling upon you. In Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, we find a blessing. And it's a blessing that tells Aaron and his sons to employ in order to bless the people of Israel. And it goes something like this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May we, as a congregation of disciples, hold this blessing dear to our hearts. And may we bestow this blessing upon the people who need to hear it most. And may your eyes shine with love, the love of Jesus, now and forever and always. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Wow. Shabbat Shalom. Very wonderful little phrase that comes from Scripture. Shabbat Shalom. Peace on the Sabbath. Pray for Sabbath rest upon you, and that you may continue to understand that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Now, he didn't go into neutral because things had to still take place, but you need to take a time of rest. And the Sabbath is not a particular day. It's a particular time that you can come. As the scripture says in the psalm, be still and know that he is God. And let the Sabbath rest just permeate your being with the grace and the love that can only come from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the gift of his Holy Spirit. God loves you. Hope and pray to see you in church sometime soon. Thanks for tuning in.